Olivia May, here with my teacher, friend, and boss, Katrina Chester, as we pressed record at work in our studio. Welcome to Imprecise Storytelling. On an average day at work, so many teachings show us how limiting the stories of ourselves are. Are we more or less than our stories? What if beliefs cloud what is? Does it stop the curiosity to explore? If you think you know everything, you might be your own imprecise storyteller. We last left off talking about the roles we play in life, so let's begin part two.
Hey, this is Katrina.
And Olivia.
And Donnie. And we're Frog.
That's right, Frog. It's imprecise storytelling, and we're back with Frog because Everybody just really dug your podcast.
Thank you, everybody.
So we thought we would do it again, just continue the conversation. And I wanted to start this one, just like, if you haven't heard the first one of Frog's, he's 11. He's from New York. He lives in New York with his parents.
Yes, I do.
He's my nephew. He just graduated the fifth grade, going into the sixth grade. And, you know, he said a lot of stuff in the first one, so I think you should just go back and listen to it. But one of the things, I mean, guess like in a short, like, summary, Liv, mm-hmm. we can say he said this great quote after he revealed that he has ADHD. He's been diagnosed with ADHD. We were asking him, like, what it was like, and, you know, then he said, maybe God has ADHD, because things are always changing. Mm-hmm. Everything around us is always changing. So, you know, of course, we made that the title. So maybe we'll make this, maybe you'll say something that makes this even a different title. But whatever it is, we love being here with him because.
Maybe Buddha has ADHD.
Maybe Buddha. It's not often that we give kids a chance to talk. It's not often that we just create space to have conversation with them like we do with each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, we can. You know, we're all trying to survive here. I mean, parents are trying to, like, do their jobs and keep houses clean and take care of kids and be married or be divorced or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, I think it's the hardest job in the world to be a parent.
You're getting an experience of it.
Yes.
Right now yourself.
I am, and so far he's probably the second best teacher I've ever had in my life.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Yeah. I mean, but with a lot of failure, you know, like with a lot of mistakes, but I just think that he should be part of those mistakes, you know, and know that I don't know everything.
Yeah.
Then he feels safe in not knowing everything himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we sort of feel responsibility when we have kids around, and I think we do, of course, but at the same time, showing them how human we are is another responsibility in itself.
It's a teaching.
It is. So I wanted to continue the conversation with Frog because we talked about things like ADHD, and he was giving us parenting tips, really, really useful parenting tips from the brain of an 11-year-old boy. And I had this, I pulled a couple of quotes because I just wanted to get your opinion, Frog, your shift. You know, the podcast is, the mother podcast is called Zooming in the Lens. And that's sort of a metaphor for when we start to witness our thoughts and when we start to notice our reactions and how to be more reflective. So we zoom in the lens on different perspectives, different ways to shift, like maybe it's this, maybe it's not, maybe it's this, and it just keeps this curiosity going, so we keep asking questions, which is why kids are so great, because the questions are just, there's never an end to the questions.
Yes.
So tell me how you take this.
Okay.
This is a quote from Einstein.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, it is. The important thing is to not stop questioning. Curiosity has its own reason for existing.
Wow.
So what does that mean to you? And if you want me to read it again, I can.
Well, like, Can you just read like the first part of it?
Sure. The important thing is to not stop questioning.
Because if you don't stop questioning, then you're going to have so many like questions, and you're going to be able to answer them, and you can finally like be able to have answers mm-hmm. and maybe tell other people mm-hmm. if they don't know.
When you ask questions, and like we talked about in the first podcast, and sometimes you feel like adults aren't listening or they're not holding space, as you know, maybe us yogis would say, when they're not holding that space, does it ever make you feel like I'm going to stop asking questions?
Well, I always ask questions, and Katrina told me that just if you have a question, I'll answer it, and you cannot stop. You cannot have too many questions.
When you say Katrina, you mean me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I got labeled as asking too many questions, even in my adult life.
But wow.
I don't think there are too many questions.
Yeah. It's, like, impossible.
I think so. I mean, I think it's just the fact of, like, Einstein pointing out that curiosity itself is worth it, to stay curious. Like, what advice could you give to parents for them to stay curious? Because sometimes it seems like parents maybe aren't as curious.
Like, maybe when a parent asks a question to a kid, like, what are you watching? Or, like, what kind of, like, what are you, like, what is so entertaining that you're watching? And then, like, she never finds it entertaining, or the mother never finds it entertaining. I would never understand that.
No?
So that's why she just asks questions so I can answer them, so then she can understand more.
Do you ever do that? When your mom's watching a show and she's loving it, do you ever ask
yes.
questions?
A lot. All the time.
Yeah. And what about your dad?
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
All the time.
So curiosity is really important.
Hopefully we can get them on this podcast one day.
Oh, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it?
So when you ask them questions about what they're watching and why they find it interesting, what do you hear back? What do they say?
Well, they say, like, they just answer them. And they answer my questions so that I don't keep asking them more questions.
Is that what it feels like?
Yeah.
So they just try to give you an answer to make you
stop? Yeah.
Do you understand whatever their answer is? Like, does it make sense to you, or is
Most
it still
time.
Confusing?
Yeah.
In school, do you ask a lot of questions?
Oh, yes. All the time. If I don't understand something in math, I just ask them, can you either repeat the question or can you explain it better?
Right. And that's received well. Like,
yeah.
Your teacher's okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ever embarrassed to ask questions in school?
Sometimes yes, because like sometimes there are too many questions and my friends are like always telling me to stop asking questions. They're being really annoying. Mm. Stuff like that.
So you get like peer pressure from other people that want you to.
Yeah.
Like people your age are annoyed by you doing it.
Yeah.
But the teacher's never annoyed.
No.
Yeah, I felt that too when I was little. When I was your age, I would get self-conscious because the questions I was asking, I was pretty sure that everybody else understood
right.
what was being taught.
Yeah.
And that it was only me that didn't. And if I asked mm-hmm. the question, I was going to be found out that I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, the teachers that I had, they would try, but it was almost like I was so nervous that I didn't even hear their response, and so I still didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like my friends, they do that sometimes too.
Yeah, and so then I walk out of there not really understanding.
Yeah.
And I even find that sometimes when I'm, as an adult, I'll go to, you know, lectures or talks, and if I'm with somebody that I feel comfortable with, like another adult, I'll ask them to ask the question for me. And I say, oh man, I have not come very far at all because I'm still an adult.
Yeah.
scared to ask too many questions.
Mm-hmm.
But then I notice it, and I think that unless, you know, you zoom in the lens and look at that from other angles, I guess at that moment, what is my intention? And my intention is I want to understand and that I'm curious.
Yeah.
And that has to come before my insecurity, but sometimes it just doesn't. So, yeah, you know, that's what it means to you, I guess. What happens, too, is if you're not curious as a person, I think the pausing, you know, the pausing that you're learning, like to just take a deep breath, the pausing allows for curiosity to come in. It allows for lots of things to come in. But you have to practice pausing because everything about our minds wants us to just keep going. So I know there were some other topics we wanted to talk about. I'll let Liv ask you.
Well, one thing I wanted to go a little deeper into, because I have some experience with it, was when you said when you're not happy is when you start to get the feelings of you want to be dead or you want to kill yourself. And I know a lot of people in the world deal with that. And I find it interesting, you know, being your age, that you're experiencing that.
You know what that is?
Really cool noise going on.
Yeah,
out
if you're hearing that, there's some construction going on out there, so sorry about that noise, but I don't think it's really that loud, do you?
I hope it's not in there.
Well, if it is, that's life.
That's life. So, do you remember the first time you ever had that thought or that feeling?
I think my first time ever experiencing that was when, like, maybe when I, like, started to really get bad into my fights with my mom. And I was, like, I was probably in the fourth and fifth, like, the beginning of fifth grade, ending of fourth.
Yeah.
I was really sad because all my friends, I thought they had everything, and they were living together, living next to each other. And, like, after school, they always go to my go to their houses, have sleepovers, go to school together. Mm. And they're popular, too, in school, and they're pretty smart.
Mm.
But I'm not sure if they're happy, you know, mm-hmm. or if their parents are happy. Mm-hmm. You may have everything, but you should be happy. And if you're not happy, then what's really the point of life? So I think usually maybe when, like, our fights started to get really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So probably around end of fourth grade.
And so you started to experience feeling really different from most of the people. And that separation of not being like them because you didn't have the experiences they were having made you want to not be alive anymore?
Yeah, but then, like, when I'm done fighting and then, like, tomorrow morning, say after the day, I'm like, why did I say that? I just say it I don't mean it, but I just say it to get it out.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not true. I don't want to kill myself, but I know I'm very happy the way I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when I'm fighting my mom, I'm always like, oh, poor me, and stuff like that.
Yeah. Sort of like that's the worst, you know. Brings you to your lowest.
Yeah.
Has anything else made you feel like that, too? Like, besides your mom?
Maybe the bullying. Because I want to start talking about that, too.
Yeah, please tell us about it.
When did that start?
That started this year. At the end of this year, about maybe, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago only. Or no, I've been here for 3 weeks now, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe like a month ago. Wait.
Like right before school ended?
Yeah. And one of my best friends, we used to be like really good friends, close friends. His name was Cody.
Mm-hmm.
If he's watching, then that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
or listening. But he just started bullying, and I might have taken it a little bit too seriously because I love drama. Like I said, I love to create drama, which is not all the time always good. But he told me and told the entire fifth grade that I slept with somebody, that I slept with a girl, and we were best friends, and to best friends, you don't really joke about that stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I had, like, sex with her, and I slept with her and had a great time with her. But that never happened, and we're pretty close friends, though. But the girl that he said I slept with, and then I just told the teacher, and then we just came worst enemies. And then now, every time he sees me, he's like, "Hey, best friend," and he's being such an asshole.
He's being sarcastic?
Yeah. Like, he's smiling, and he's like, "Hey, best friend," and then I'm like, "Just shut the up." Yeah.
Okay, you just said a lot. Mm-hmm. There's probably people listening out there that mouths are hanging open. Mm-hmm. Because I don't remember being 11 and friends talking about sex as sleeping with somebody, even. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just called sex. It wasn't called sleeping with somebody.
Mm-hmm. But he said both.
Right.
Having sex and sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Right. So when you say both, do you actually mean sleeping? Or do you just mean sleeping as in having sex?
Sleeping and having sex, like, with her, sleeping with her, like, sleeping in the same bed with her and, like, having fun in the bed.
Okay. So this is, like, a common thing that's talked about in your age group. Like, you're not this person that has all this lingo and you're just creating it. Yeah. In your age group, in the year 2016, kids at 11 are talking about having sex. And that's normal?
Mostly boys, though.
Mostly boys.
Because mm-hmm. girls don't really like to talk about that. Unless they're like a little bit older, like maybe 16, 17.
I see. What was the purpose of him saying that?
Just as a joke, I think.
Something happened prior, like the day before.
Well, we always joke around with each other, but I just took that way too seriously. I think I over-exaggerated.
Why?
Because
you felt you needed to go to the teacher, right?
I felt that this has to end now because it's getting really annoying. And it really hurt me because everybody made fun of me then.
Why would they make fun of you?
Because they're saying that I slept with somebody and had sex with her.
Right, but what you're telling us is that, well, maybe you're not telling us this, but you've told me this, that's not a bad thing. Like,
my friends think that sex is like the worst thing, and it's so gross and disgusting, but it's just a way to show your love to another, like to your spouse.
Mm-hmm. So, but your friends do think it's disgusting?
Yeah.
Not all of them.
Well, mostly girls. Again.
Well, okay, so mostly girls.
Like, if me and my friend are talking about, like, some kind of porn website that we, like, sometimes watch, like, for, like, the first time.
Which is not allowed at all by your mother.
No, it's not.
But you sneak this.
Yeah, I did it once just to feel what
it would look like.
Yeah. And then, like, me and my friend are talking about it, and then, like, the girl's like, "What are you talking about?" And we're like, "Porn," and she's like, "Ew." Like, it's...
But the boys don't make fun of you guys, right? So then, why were you embarrassed? Were you embarrassed in front of the girls that he was saying this?
Well, the boys did make fun of me a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. So I was embarrassed in front of everybody.
Ah.
And I almost didn't go to school one day. But my mom said I had to, so...
I'm so sorry. Did you tell your mom that this happened?
Yes, I did.
So when you told the teacher...
And I made him cry, somehow.
How?
Because my mom, at this one, like... this reunion for school for, like, the last day or something. my mom was talking to his mom about it, and Cody was standing there watching, like, listening, and he answered back, like, crying and stuff. But he never cries. He never cries. He never, ever cries. And I think he faked the crying and stuff.
I see.
And then his mom felt all bad for him, I think. Then...
Did he say why he said that?
Because he was just joking around. And then I got in trouble for it. Because my teacher, she brought me out in the hallway. And she took both of us out. And then she's like, "Cody, I'm sick of your nonsense. You should not have done that. That was a really inappropriate thing." And then she turns to me and then she's like, "Donnie, I'm sick of your nonsense. What is wrong with your nonsense? Like, what is wrong with you? Why are you, like blaming him for doing stuff? And, like, I'm sick of your nonsense. I'm done with it. I then said, I'm done with both of your nonsense. Now you're both not having recess for the rest of the day. Or, like, free time for the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. And I got in trouble for being bullied. Which was BS to me.
Interesting. It feels like it's, like, it feels almost like when I was 11 and these sorts of things would happen, I was convinced that everything in my world stunk when something like this happened. Like, nothing was good. Does it feel like that? Like, does it feel that serious?
Yeah. Most of the time it does. Most of the time I'm very stressed out. All the time. I don't like being stressed out, though.
So now you and Cody don't talk?
Nope. We were best friends, but not anymore.
Whose decision is that?
Both of our decisions. We're both happy that we're not talking to each other, I guess.
Is that really true, though?
To me, I really sort of miss him.
Yeah, but, I can sense that.
I mean, I just moved on. Didn't let it take me and get mad about it. All right, can we talk about something, like, can I talk about something, like my camp and, like, what goes on there and stuff?
If you think your camp would interest everybody, well, like, what does that have to do with other kids and parents and...
I don't know. Well, I just wanted to them, like, maybe just... Never mind.
You sure?
I'm sure, yeah.
Are you just wanting to not talk about that conversation anymore?
Well, I would still talk about it. Mm-hmm.
I think we got onto that conversation because Livia was asking you, and I was asking you, what other times you've had right. that thought of killing yourself or, you know, ending your life. And you pointed out that it's when you fight with your mother, but you also pointed out something like this with Cody. So did that happen where you had that thought?
No, not really with Cody, because he's just a person, and my mom's someone who I dearly love, and he's my mother. Mm-hmm. I came out of her, and I just shouldn't be as mean to her as I am, because she doesn't deserve all that stress, because she works so hard every single day just to make me happy.
Does it feel like you can't control it when you are mean to her?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to control it for me.
I really appreciate your honesty with all that. You know that
I'm
every day...
I'm completely honest. Every time I'm on this podcast, or whenever time I'm in the studio, or I'm with you two, mm-hmm. I'm always honest, because if I'm not honest, like, what's so bad that's going to happen?
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Nothing. And you're teaching other kids that it's okay to be honest. You know, don't you find that a lot of kids your age are trying to find themselves? So in order to do that, they just tell a lot of stories. Like, I guess what Cody did. You know, he told a story. But you've been there. Mm-hmm. You know what Cody feels like when he tells a story, because you tell stories. We all tell stories. Mm-hmm. So that was the only time you ever felt that?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think happens when you die?
I have a bunch of things. I either think that you're going, like, you have a choice. It's a really hard choice. Like, you go into spiritual form and you watch over and be a ghost, basically. And, like, you can be exactly how you're living now. But if, like, we were to jump in the pool, there would be no splash.
Ooh,
but you could, like, knock over, like this microphone. Like, you can knock it over, and nobody will know what happened to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I think of reincarnation, which is, if you guys don't know what reincarnation is, I bet you do, but if you don't, it's where you, when you die, and you believe that you come back as, like, an animal, or anything. Like, I can reincarnate into that box over there, or I can reincarnate into a cloud, or something in the sky, or an airplane, or something like that. Or probably an animal, because that's what I would think. Like, in like 100 years from now, reincarnation is probably going to be discovered. Wow. So I'm pretty sure it's either reincarnation or the first thing I said.
Okay, so it's either that you get to choose to be a ghost, or you get reincarnated. Now, who decides that? Do you get to decide that?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah. I get to, God gives me a choice. Oh, like if I believe in God or something. Whoever you believe in, or if you don't even believe in anything, then you have your own beliefs. That's just my belief. And I think I would, like, God would give me the decision. And I can reincarnate, or I can be a ghost. Mm-hmm. And when I'm a ghost, that's, like, basically my job, sort of.
It's a job.
Yeah, and then, like, when you come home, you see all of your family members that have died in the past. And your neighbor's, like, maybe George Washington. Whoa. Like, your neighbor can be George Washington, or your cat that died yesterday or something. Mm-hmm. If it did, I'm very sorry.
And what do you look like when you reincarnate as a ghost?
You just look like you're in the sky somewhere, and it's basically exactly like we are today, but nobody will see you. Like, you can be super, super, super tiny, and you can be all the way up somewhere in space. Mm-hmm. And if somebody, like, looks at you, mm-hmm. that's an earthquake. If somebody blows on you, that's a tornado. Wow. If somebody, like, spits on you or cries or spills some water on you, that's rain. But as soon as everything turns into a tiny little thing, tiny little world, like this big, that, like, just so big, not really, like, just so small, mm-hmm. that, like, we have our own atmosphere. And, like, as soon as it goes into that atmosphere, the same thing happens over and over and over again, but we will never know.
Right. What does that feel like to never know?
Yeah.
Yeah, does it feel okay to never know?
It's like a mystery, and I love mysteries.
You do. Well, life is definitely that.
Yeah, but what I don't understand are mediums.
Mediums?
Like, people who communicate?
Yeah, with the dead. I think that's real, but that's really weird how that happens. Because my mom, she went to a psychic medium. She never talked to the person at all. And her dad came in,
whoa.
Which is your dad too. Mm-hmm. Her dad came in, and her cat came in too.
Whoa.
That was dead. Her cat came in, and as soon as the psychic said that name, she just started hysterical crying, and it was just so weird because she actually communicated, or she has really, really, really good guessing.
Right.
Were you there, or this was just what your mom told you?
I wasn't there, but I went to another one. He didn't come in. I bet he was online waiting. But my mom just showed me the papers that the person wrote down and, like, what she felt. Mm-hmm. But I believe her.
Does that make you feel better about, I don't know, if you, what do you think of death? Like, do you think death is natural, or do you think it's
a I think if I thing? Kill myself, I'm going to hell.
So but you didn't mention that option. You said there was two things that happened to us. Is there a third one now?
No, but if I kill myself, if I die just unexpectedly.
Hell doesn't exist unless you kill yourself?
Basically, or you do something bad. Like, if you're a criminal, and you die, and you kill, and you die somehow, you can't go back unless you're, like, getting really good and you don't want to go to hell. If you're, like, a really bad criminal, like some escape artist that escaped jail, mm-hmm. or if you go in jail for, like, a long period of time, then I think that you would go to hell. But you still could be a good person inside, but that's just God's decision.
What about all the people that are in jail that are innocent?
I think it's all up to God. But if they were in jail for a long period of time, it depends on how long it was. Like, they would go to hell, and their punishment would be worse if, depending on how bad they acted.
So then you do believe in God?
I do believe in God.
And yes, I do. What is God?
God is just like everything. He's everything. He's air. He's water. He's food. So if I just punch the air, I will be made of, like, maybe the earth is God. And everybody that has ADHD in the world gives a little bit to him, and then that's why the world spins.
Wow. That's a cool theory. The world spins because everybody with ADHD gives a little bit to God, and then he spins the world.
Because he's so hyper.
Because he's so hyper. I mean, he created the world in what, 7 days?
I'm not sure.
I think that's what they said. 8 days? Yeah. 7 days?
Do you think God loves you?
I think God loves everybody.
Mm-hmm. What about the criminals?
I think he loves them.
So why hell then?
Just a punishment and show what you might deserve. And then if you learn, it's like jail for...
But aren't they in jail here?
Yeah, but they might be in jail for another year in heaven.
So there's time in heaven and hell.
But it won't be like jail because there'll be different, there'll be thousands and millions of different punishments. But if you die in hell, you just go right back. And it's just like a game. Like if you die, you respawn.
I see. So do you think that's why you didn't kill yourself? Because you didn't want to go to hell?
I would never kill myself unless I'm older. Right?
Unless you're older.
Yeah, because I have a long life to live. I'm only 11.
That's right.
So
it's hard for me to hear that you would want to kill yourself.
And I want to be a parent. I just say it. I don't mean it, though. Okay. I just say it.
Mm-hmm. That's a serious thing to say.
I know.
What do people say to you when they hear you say that? How do they react?
They're scared. Scared. And they're nervous that I might actually do it one day.
Mm-hmm. Do you like that reaction?
Sometimes.
Yeah. So maybe sometimes you say it to get that reaction?
Yeah, or for people to feel bad for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So God is just everything, but how come we can't see him? Is it a him?
It's a hish.
A hish.
A okay. He and a she.
I like that.
It's just...
A hish.
It's not even a gender, you know? It's not even a gender.
Right.
It's just nothing.
Mm-hmm. But, you sound Buddhist right now.
What I don't understand was Jesus is God's son.
Mm-hmm. Some say that. That's what some people believe that.
But what if he wasn't?
Yeah.
And it was just a coincidence that Jesus was just a nice person that died on a cross.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And wore a really long white robe for no reason. Mm-hmm. And a big beard.
Well, yeah. I mean, what's the harm in looking at all of it? They call it metaphors. Remember the other day you and I looked at
idioms?
Yeah, metaphors and idioms. And we were thinking, maybe what religion can teach us is all of these great stories. What does it give to us for us to believe that Jesus is God's son? And what does it teach us to think that Jesus isn't God's son? Because Jewish people believe that Jesus is not God's son. And Christian, Catholic people, religious people think that Jesus is God's son. And so a lot of the fighting between religions are about things like that. And you're open enough to say, hey, we don't know.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Doesn't mean that you're right. If you were right, then you would be extremely famous.
Right.
If you knew.
You mean because people find out that you're right.
Yeah.
Right.
But how do we have proof that you're right? How do we know? How am I speaking? How am I seeing right now? If I just move my hand, I can't control that. That's, I don't feel myself doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I think it in my brain. And then it just does it. So, I move my hand. I clap. How does that work? How does clapping work? If I even clap a little bit, it still makes a loud noise.
Yeah.
Well, how does that happen?
Right.
How did we become human?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does our brain do
this thing?
Where
did my mom come from? Right. Where did her mom come from? Mm-hmm. Where did that mom come from? Yeah. I mean, if we ever did ancestry.com... And we saw all the way back to like 1 BCE or BC, or 10,000 BCE or something like that. Then we would kind of know, but we would know actually. But if we would know, then Ancestry.com would be pretty famous.
That's right.
And pretty real.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do we want to know? Like, why do we have to know everything all the time? Why can't things stay a mystery?
Because at one point, sometimes it gets boring, or you don't really want to do it anymore. And you just want to find out the answers so that you can be relieved and, like, know and tell everybody, I know why. You feel smart, and you feel, like, intelligent. Those are synonyms. And, like, you feel good about yourself that you actually accomplished and figured something out.
Mm-hmm. What if God, whether it's in your concept or as energy or as a metaphor, what if God wants you to feel okay and satisfied with exactly who you are without all the answers? Like, what if that's the reason why we don't know? Like, that's a cool shift of perception.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if everything is actually exactly the way it needs to be? Because why would we ever question if we knew the answer?
And we won't be able to, like, experience more things. And we'll always know the answer. Like, how did that get built? Oh, well, in the 18th century of right. July 16th, the date was, the time was 9 o'clock and 9:01, 30 seconds and 14 milliseconds.
Right. So isn't that wild how, on one hand, humans want to know, and on the other hand, you can completely understand why we don't.
We want to know a little bit so that we can figure it out ourselves. Like, give us one clue. 10,000 years later, somebody figures it out in their same family, and they're like, wait a second. I just realized how this happened.
But what if it's not one way? What if there are many ways?
And, what's the universe? Like, where did that come from? Did that just pop up? Like, why did we even need to have life? Like, if we didn't have life, where would we? Where would we be?
Yeah.
There won't even be anything. I wouldn't even exist. There won't be any computers, Xbox, TVs, even old, like, houses. There won't even be a house. There won't even be anything. They won't, like, it'll just be flat out gone.
Mm-hmm.
But what I am wondering is, what is deeper into the universe? Because they're very well, I guarantee you, there is something like 43 billion trillion miles, a million light years away from this Earth. Somewhere over there, somebody would just go there. That would be so helpful. But but if, like, what would, like, there definitely is probably another Earth. And when you die, you probably go to that Earth. And then on that Earth, there's probably a trillion billion light years away from that one to another one. And when you die from that one, you may even take a rocket ship back to your original Earth where mm-hmm. you first died, but you'll be a totally new person, and you won't remember a thing. But if you were just remembered a tiny bit of where you came from before you lived, at this present moment right now, then you would go back to your old Earth, and then you'll remember maybe a little bit where you lived, and then you'll go back to your old house, but then you'll go there and you'll see the exact same person as you.
Whoa.
You will see yourself like how you lived before.
Well, it sounds like with all your theories and all this that you've really thought about, it sounds like death is almost like a rebirth. Like, maybe death isn't...
But that's... We will never know.
No, we won't ever know. But talk about what your feelings are about death. Is death a bad thing, or is death a neutral thing, or is death a great thing? Like, do you have any feelings? Are you scared to die?
I think death is an amazing thing. I believe when I die, that's gonna happen. And I sure hope to God that does.
So you're not scared to die when your time comes?
No, not really, because I look forward to seeing my mother.
Yeah.
And my father. And my great 10,000 greats later, mother or father.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be just pretty cool.
Isn't that relieving, though? Because there's a lot of adults that don't even feel that way.
I know. And I guarantee there's another kid exactly like me that just thought of the exact same thing right now, this exact moment.
That could be. Have you always thought this stuff?
Somebody just clapped and that right at the same time.
That's right. Have you always thought this stuff?
Yeah, and I'm sure not the only person that looks exactly like me has the same problems.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty very sure that somebody in this entire world looks exactly like me, has my exact face, and we could actually be twins that came from different mothers.
That could be. So you've always thought this stuff?
I've always thought it. And, like, how did humans get here? Maybe, like...
There's a lot of theories.
It's like a story or a game.
You got it.
Like, when you play a game...
You sound like Alan Watts right now.
Excuse me. And, like, you're playing a game, and in the beginning of the game, it gets, like, all boring, and, like, we have to get into the game and get comfortable with the game. But then, later on, a couple hours later in the game, you're playing, like, Manhunt in the Dark, and it's so much fun. You just have to start the game, and just starting it is the hard part, because you have to get all the people to do it, and you just, like, it's hard to start something... It's hard to start something that is hard to put into words. Yeah,
that's exactly what a lot of poetry states, and a lot of yoga states, that if you want to be a seeker, is to travel in the dark, and that's a metaphor for you'll never know. Mm-hmm. But if you just stay curious, if you look at life,
it'll still be something fun to look forward to when you die.
Yeah, I mean, how could anybody, and why would anybody choose, this is my question to you, why would anybody choose to be so fearful when we don't know? Why are we choosing fear instead of love? Why?
Exactly.
Like, is it easier to be fearful, or is it easier to love? I mean, you can speak to that from the way that you and your mother get along, or don't get along. If you looked at life as a game, as you're saying, in this one analogy you're giving us, couldn't you be here to find ways in which to love yourself and your mother in her situation as just a woman, a regular girl who had a baby? Couldn't you be here to just learn to love even when you don't get what you want?
This is also, I just thought of this. Like, when we move, I always think that there's this extraordinarily large person, like little kid, that's controlling us with like a computer or something. And then there's another extremely large person that's controlling that person, that's controlling me. And sometimes, maybe whenever I walk, I'm controlling that person's very move.
It can all be.
Yeah.
But don't you want to lead the way by teaching kindness to those other things that are controlling?
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to... Kindness is... It seems harder, but when you actually get into kindness and you do it, there's nothing that feels better than being kind, and you can't give out kindness to the max unless you practice being kind to yourself. You know what I mean? Like, when you fight with your mom and then you feel so bad about it the next day, what if in your analogy you had a chance to remember exactly who you truly are in your heart And every fight that happens moves us further and further away. So then you have incentive, you have intention for trying something different. Remember when Tommy was telling you that quote of when you do the same thing over and over and over again, when you react the same way every single time, your mom says this, or your mom says that, or says to do this, you're sitting under an apple tree waiting for an orange to fall.
Well, never will happen. Never would happen.
What would never happen?
An orange will never fall from an apple tree.
So if you never do something different, nothing different will ever happen.
Exactly.
It seems like... I want to ask you one last question.
Okay.
It doesn't seem like I want to ask you one last question. I had one thought, and now I'm on to another thought. Forgive me.
You're from Kevin.
Do you feel... How do I put this? I'm pausing, right? It's good mm-hmm. to pause.
So you great just pause.
Yeah, you don't just say stuff just to say stuff. I want you to know that what I'm going to say, I'm saying from my heart. No matter how bad you speak to somebody, no matter what other people think of you, do you feel that there's this little part of you deep inside that is always with you and is pure kindness and pure love? Do you feel, even if it's just like tiny, 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 can you sense that you're more than your thoughts?
Wow, that's a hard question. Can I sense more than my thoughts?
Can you sense that you are more than just your thoughts?
Yes.
You can?
I can.
Okay, and that might be your Buddha nature or your God nature. And so can that part of you and all of us, can that part of us be like the thing we check in with, that when we're out of control reacting, that we try to close our eyes and breathe and check in with that part of ourselves
mm-hmm.
that most likely will tell you something different to do and to try? And that part of me that I sense in me, my mind then gets to play in something called consciousness. Have you ever heard that word, consciousness?
Yes.
What is consciousness?
Consciousness is like to look at like what you're doing or notice that you're doing something, I think.
That might be more mindfulness.
Okay.
But I think it's all really coming from the same pool. But I have this story that I want to share with you that I love, that describes what consciousness
means,
feels like. Because I don't think anybody knows what anything means. So it's a little story. Two young fish are swimming, and they meet an elderfish. The elderfish says, "The water is very pleasant today, isn't it?" As the elderfish greets them politely. The two young fish swim on, and after a while, one of them asks the other, "Water? What is water?" In this little story here, it seems like what they're trying to say, one thing they're trying to say, is that consciousness can't really be defined. And when you're conscious, when you're not conscious, when you're not mindful, when you're not cultivating the witness, checking in on your thoughts, when you're not questioning and being curious, it's like you don't even know that you're not only your mind.
Yes.
Just like these fish are like water. I mean, they live in water, Frog. They live in water. They're swimming every day in water.
Wow.
And one fish goes to the other Water? What's water?
It's like forgetting your parents.
That's right. That's exactly what it's like. I'm actually going to use that. It's exactly what it's like. So unless you question, you could be swimming around. I feel you are swimming around in magic. Magic. How does your hand do this? How do you clap? How are you thinking and talking at the same time?
I know.
So life...
it's crazy.
...is magical.
Everything is magical to me. Especially everybody that's watching.
Well, listening. Yeah. So, Liv, you have any final things you want to say? You barely talked. I'm so sorry, but Frog was just on fire.
I know.
Good wisdoms.
I think we started on a great journey that led him into a great conversation. So
it's so nice to see a kid, an 11-year-old, who's not reporting that death is
bad.
The scary, horrible thing. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not. I'm just saying, why are we, nobody knows, so why are we attracted to this?
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you see an accident on the street. And we feel compelled to slow down and look at the accident, even though we know we don't really want to see that.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Why?
Because it's... I just love destruction.
Why?
Because it's just fun to me. And, like, all boys, I think, personally, I think that boys love to smash things and break things.
What do you think that's about, though, in regards to all the things you just said to me about life and love and different dimensions, and like, what, how does that play a role in why you're here?
Because like, you get your anger out too. If you like needed to get your anger out,
mm-hmm.
you just smash the out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of my lifelong dreams is to take a junk car, still has glass, still has tires, it still looks decent,
mm-hmm.
but I just want the motor out, the airbag still in, and just go ham on that car. Smash the front of them car, the airbag goes boom, pop all the tires, shoot it a couple times, smash the glass.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, and I understand that, like, in yogic terms, it's like you can't have happiness without sadness, and so then there's all this destruction, and then there's creation. So maybe what the roles of boys and girls are, because you pointed out that a lot of boys like to do that. Maybe the roles of boys is destruction and sometimes, and roles of girls are creation, because women can have babies.
Like art.
Right. So you always have in the two. It's never about one thing.
Yes.
Wow. Awesome. So listen, if you have a question for Frog or you want to bring up a topic.
Oh, I think I have an idea. Maybe, can they comment these podcasts?
They can on facebook.com/ functional yoga, or on functionalyogaonline.com on the blog, or they could write to us and we would get the question to you and ask you on the next one we do at zitlcourse@gmail.com.
And I have an idea, like maybe we can do a Q&A for me, like people ask you questions on Facebook or
sure.
on your blog, and then we have like on your phone, you write all down all the questions, and we write who it's from, and then we thank them for asking the question, and then
sure.
I answer them any question, any single question in the world, I would answer. And
is there any topic particular that you're wanting to hit maybe next time?
Maybe just what it feels like to be a kid again.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't need that as an adult, right?
Mm-hmm. But if you have any questions, just write it on Facebook. Mimi will, she'll tell you on the end.
I'm Mimi, by the way.
Yes, I call her Mimi.
Mm-hmm.
Katrina will tell you all the websites and like the can you like put like descriptions on us?
Like, what do you mean descriptions?
Like put like send a like write down a link to
mm-hmm.
the website, or maybe like put it on the, like on the screen or something.
Yeah, if when you're in iTunes, if you click on more, when you see the description of this episode, when you click on more, the links will be right in there.
Okay, and if you have any questions to ask me, just ask them on Facebook or her website, like I said, and I'll just answer them, and we'll tell them who asked them, and That would be awesome.
Okay, well, hopefully, you guys out there will bring in some questions and some topics so that we can, see through the eyes of an 11-year-old.
And entertain you guys and have a good, just
yeah,
make you have a good time.
Well, you definitely are. I really can't thank you enough for doing this with us.
I'm in love with podcasts right now. I love to do this.
That's so great. It's so great to have somebody that is just willing to talk about it and is passionate about it.
I'll be totally honest on any questions.
Okay. That sounds awesome. Good, Liv. You good?
I'm good. I'm ready for the next one, you guys. So I guess we're going to have to put that down in the books and see if we can get some engagement from our listeners. And
I think that's important because the topic has been how sometimes adults don't listen to kids.
Oh, yeah.
And adults aren't curious about kids and what they're really thinking. Yeah. Because some adults feel like they know everything. But if we get back to the beginner mind, that don't know mind, there's a lot of wisdom to learn here if you can see all the metaphors and all the underpinnings of different languages that he's using. It gives me clarity because sometimes we just think too much.
Yeah.
And when you hear from a child that's only been alive for 11 years, they just simplify it.
Yeah.
The fact that we just don't know.
Yeah.
And how okay that really is to not know. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This is Katrina, Olivia, and Frog.
Hello.
With Imprecise Storytelling, presented by Zooming in the Lens podcast. See you next time.
Bye.
Music and editing, special thank you to Ian Hatton. If you'd like more information on Ian, go to MIX.com. MIX, mixforpicks.com.